Jane Doe and the Quill of All Tales. The Jane Doe Chronicles, Book 3, written by Jeremy Lachlan and read by Wendy Boss. The boy has been hiding for months, sticking to the shadows, sleeping in trees, only creeping into the village after dark to steal scraps from the smouldering campfire. Tonight, he finds a roasted taro in the ashes and the remains of a picked-at kappa bird, filthy but edible. He gnaws at the carcass until his belly is almost full, finds a jug of water too, and kicks it over. Rule number one, drink only rainwater, freshly pooled in banu leaves. He doesn't want to turn out like the others, doesn't want to become one of them. The boy stares at the village huts, lashed together long ago from an assortment of materials, wood hewn from the jungle, metal salvaged from the ruins of New Kaimoon. He can hear the villagers stirring within them, people he used to call his friends, his family. Some cry out in their sleep, others scream. This used to be a peaceful place. He remembers crawling into his bed at night and drifting off to the sounds of his snoring uncle and the soft chirrups of the bats overhead. He used to feel safe here, among the hobok trees. Those days are long gone. So are many of his people. A weapon, that's what he needs. Something to ward off the creatures of the night. There's an axe by the campfire. A stray kappa bird's picking its seeds beside it. The boy is about to grab them both when he spots something in the jungle. Torches floating in the dark, coming his way. He dashes back to the shadows, crouches behind a rotting log, and waits. "Nukava," he whispers. "The cult." He can already hear the lyrical chanting under their breath. Already see the firelight glinting in their eyes. The high priest and his six faithful brethren. They've come all the way from the Forbidden Valley, but why? Haven't they taken enough already? As if summoned from a collective dream, the villagers step from their huts and gather in the clearing. The boy wants to shake them, wake them, save them, but he knows better. He already tried it once when his uncle turned. When his uncle changed. Never again. The boy's bruises took weeks to heal. The high priest steps into the clearing first, pale skin glowing in the torchlight. His robes are tattered and simple, a soft eggshell blue. He is neither young nor old, pretty nor plain. He simply is, the boy thinks, though he isn't sure why. The faithful brethren fan out behind the man, joined by three snarling beastly shadows, Torridons. The cult has claimed them too.